Thanks. Okay, so I'm kind of excited about today's topic for three reasons. Okay, number one, Shir Klali is just always enjoyable, so that is reason one. Number two, in some ways it's Parshat Shavua, because we're focused on Psukim from Mishpatim. And number three, I think some of you this year struggled a bit with Bav Metzia. So this is going to be our reclamation of Bav Metzia. You'll discover what good stuff you're missing there from Bav Metzia. Okay, so let us discuss the Parsha of Shomer. Okay, so as you know, there are different kinds of ways to guard an object. And the four classic categories are Shomer Chinam and Shomer Sakar, where the guardian is doing a Shomer Chinam, he's doing a favor, obviously. Shomer Sakar, he's being paid. But neither of them use the object. They just guard the object. And then you have two kinds of people who use the object. You have a socher and a shoel. Right? A socher rents it, he's paying, and a shoel borrows it. Maybe just think logically for one second, it's obvious that you could divide those cases. In two of the four, one side is doing the other a favor. In two of the four, it's kind of an even deal. What are the two where one side is doing the other a favor? Shomer Chinam and Shomer. Very good. It's just the favor is going in different directions. So if we ask how much responsibility a Shomer should have, so I think the logic is pretty clear. Right? So which Shomer should have the most responsibility? Shomer. Like, he's getting all the benefit. Right? He gets to borrow the item for free. Right? And use it. Right? So he's in great shape. So indeed, we make him chayev almost in every scenario. Right? Because he's the one benefiting. Okay, who should have, of course, the least responsibility? Yeah, this poor Shomer Chinam, he's being a nice guy, he's not even getting paid, and he's watching the object for you. Like, how much responsibility are we going to give him? So that is pretty straightforward. That in logic, a Shomer Chinam will have the least responsibility, and a Shoel will have the most, and a Socher and a Shomer Sakar logically should be somewhere in the middle. Okay, we'll go to that? Okay, great. But I think it often pays when you're doing a topic to start with the Psukim. And if you look at the Psukim, it's not so clear exactly how we got there. So you can either follow it inside of me or just listen for a second. So in our parsha, we have the following. Here is the first section. Okay, John the Berkowitz, is it okay if we learn a little chumash? I know you think it's Bitul Torah, but we'll give it a shot, okay? Okay. Okay, here we go. What? Oh, yeah, yeah, no. Can we just cut to the chase there? Okay. Okay, here we go. Okay. So in Shmot Chavet, even as we speak, he's got to come open in front of him. Okay? Okay. Okay, Shmor Chabet. Okay, so in Shmor Chabet, we have as follows. Okay, Ki Yitein Ishareu Kesef O Kelim L'Shmor. So what's the first parsha about? Someone who's guarding? You know, movable, Kesef O Kelim, sorry. Vessels, I gave you my pot to watch, etc. I gave you some cash to watch. And what happens in that case? I'm not going to be the whole parsha inside, but it's clear that you're putter in a case of Kneva. Okay, so there's Kesef and Kelim, and you're putter for Ganav. Great. Then, how does the next parsha start? Ki tein ishareu chamor oshar osev v'chol beima lishmar. What's the second parsha about? I gave you an animal to watch. Okay, what does it say in this parsha a little later? Im ganov yiganev meimo yishalem lebalav. What happens in Kneva there? You pay. So we have Parsha 1, which starts with Kesef O Kelim, and you are putter from Kneva. You have Parsha 2, which starts with Chamor Oshar, and you are Chayv in Kneva. Great. Then we have Parsha 3. We'll come back to that in a minute, guys. V'chi Yish'al Im Mishmeu. What's the third case? Shoel. But notice what happened here. Here the Parsha is very explicit that it's Shoel. The first two, it was not so clear what kind of Shoel we're talking about. Here it says black, we're talking about Shoel. Not surprising what happens here. V'nishbar omeit balav enimo shalem yishalem. Where does he pay here? Not only Kneva, even in nishbar omeit. Now, most probably mate means he's not at fault, right? The animal just lived its full life and died. So you see with the shoel, as we said, he has the most heightened responsibility. We don't even need fault. He could be chayiv, even what we call a case of ones. It's not his fault in the slightest. But your shoel, you pay it, you have to pay. Great, but notice there was another clause thrown in there, which was, when does he pay? Balav Enimo. What happens if it's Balav Imo? Then all of a sudden, he's putter. Okay, now, did you guys do that in Bava Metzia? It didn't come up, Balav Imo. Okay, so if somehow the owner of the animal is working for the borrower, Right, that creates a p'tur. Okay, I don't get to the logic of why. It's a long conversation. Let's just take it as a given. Okay, so Baal Yomo creates a p'tur. Okay, great. Let's go back to the first two parsha though again. What happened to the first parsha? First parsha, you're putter from Geva. What happened to the second section? You're chayav in Geva. Okay, so we go to today's sheet. Rashi quoting Chazal. By the way, I have to say, guys, I have to give credit to someone else here. Okay, Nachi Zucker has been avoiding coming to my shirm for a month, so I won't make fun of him directly, but here he is. Okay, courageous move, Nachi Zucker, and your hair gets worse every day. Okay. Okay, here we go. So let's look at Rashi number two. Okay, Ki Yitin Yishel Re'eyu Chamar Oshar Har Sharishon Anemra B'Shomar Chinam Lefika Kepatabot Gneva. Okay, let's skip to the third line. And the second parsha, Uparsha Zu Amur B'Shomar Sakar Lefikach Eino Patrum Nigneva. So Rashi, of course, quoting Chazal, says, what is the difference between the first parsha and the second parsha? The first parsha is Shomer Chinam, and the second parsha is Shomer Sakar. And how do I know that? Well, because the first parsha is Pater from Gneva, must be Shomer Chinam. The second parsha is Chayiv in Gneva, he must be Shomer Sakar. So then we have three parshiot in Mishpatim. We have Shomer Chinam, Shomer Sakar, and Shomer. Okay, well, good. That's Rashi. Okay, guys, now let's say I did not have Rashi. Okay, and here we're going to do something interesting that is a little bit more radical, but we're going to do it anyway. Okay, which is as follows. We know there's a distinction between Pshat and Drash. We're all used to that. But we're used to that more in the narrative sections of Chumash, right? Not as much as in the legal sections of Chumash. Like, in narrative, we do it all the time. Like, you might say, here's a good example. Let's say we learn that it says, when Am Yisrael left Egypt, Chamushim alu b'nei Yisrael mi'aretz Mitzrayim. Okay, so what does the Midrash say about the word Chamushim? Only a fifth of them left. Four-fifths died in Choshech. That is certainly not the Pshat. What is the Pshat in Chamushim? They're armed. Like when you go to the mall, and they ask if you're Chamush. That's what the Pshat is. Okay, great. So we're used to that in the world of narrative. In the world of Halacha, since we follow Chazal, so you kind of jump straight to, as it were, the Drash. Okay, but interestingly, some Mefarshim say, even in Halacha, it's interesting to think about both Pshat and Drash. So for example, when the Torah says, Ayin Tachat Ayin, classically, of course, how did Chazal interpret it? You don't actually do an eye for an eye, you pay cash. I'm not suggesting we do an eye for an eye. Clearly, we pay cash. But maybe you could still ask, why in the Pshat level does it say eye for an eye? Okay, you ever got that? So that's an interesting idea, that even in Halachic section, it might be worth it to differentiate Pshat and Drash. So if I asked you on a Pshat level, okay, what might be the difference between the first paragraph and the second paragraph of Shomer? If, again, Chazal clearly say, paragraph one is Shomer Chinam, paragraph two is Shomer Sakar. What might be the Pshat difference? Gabe Gross. Excellent, Gabe Gross. Very good. Okay, even phrase it like in a Lumdish way, it's a din in the, Lumdish Gross. Okay, what's the difference in the two Parsha? Well, Parsha one says, Kesef O Kelim. Parsha 2 says, Chamor Shor. Maybe it's not about whether you're paid or not. Maybe it's about which kind of item you have. Maybe the item affects the degree of responsibility. Now, why would that be so? So let's work out a svara. So if you go to the Rashbam, number 2. Now, this is quite interesting, guys, because we've seen this all the time, right, in narrative sections. Rashi is a Midrashic man, and the Rashbam sticks to Pshat. What if we discovered that same difference could be manifest even in legal sections? So the Rashi we just saw quotes Chazal. That's how he paskin halachically. Let's go to the Rashbam. So first he quotes Chazal, but look at the third line. Ulefi pshuto shel mikra, will be a deep shot level. Par shir yishon shekhtaba kitein yishrayu kesevukim l'shmar, mital tulim heim, ulishomram betoch beito, kishar chafetzav namlo. If you're watching my crockpot, what am I expecting you to do? Put it in my house. Put it in the kitchen. The way you watch all your other pots. That's what I'm expecting. Okay. Lefikach im nigribu beito pater. Kisham and kishmir chavetzav. You know, just like your crock pot could be stolen, so could mine. I'm just keep doing the same thing I would do. I put it in my kitchen shelf, and if it's, that's all you expect of me. However, avol parsha shniya shekata b'kitin v'sheyu chamar osho osev v'chol behima l'shmar. V'derech behimo l'rot v'sadeh. Where do animals hang out? In the field. I mean, what's my intention if I give you my cow? Well, if it's going to be outside, I'm worried that someone's going to steal it. So that's precisely your job. It says it's all about assumptions of the shomer. And the assumption of the shomer is a function of what kind of item it is. If I give you a kli, All I want you to do is put it away inside. So I'm not expecting you to fight off thieves. But if I give you an animal to watch, I know the animal's going to be outside. I'm expecting you to take care of it if a thief comes by. And that's why you're chayav in yileva. Haven't got that? It's very interesting. The Rashbam says, beyond the midrashic level of Chazal here, there's a pshat level. And on a pshat level, it's really a difference between kesef o kelim or behemot. Yeah, Gabe.
Then does the Rashbam find another place to differentiate between shomer sfar and shomer
kelim? No, the Rashbam would say, this is a much larger conversation, that even when I identify the pshat level, halacha follows. Everyone's already said, okay, let me clarify that, guys. Obviously, there's a difference between, why is there a difference between narrative and legal sections? Because in narrative, you don't need to have a conclusion on some level. Like, if you come over to me and see, how do we paskin? Does chamushim mean a fifth or it means arms? I would say, like, the whole question is off. Right? We don't have to paskin because we don't have to act upon that. That's just like a theoretical question, how you read the pasuk. Okay, but we do need to have laws of shira. So if there's a pshat drash difference, halacha follows the drash, right? I'm not suggesting anyone thinks we should do an eye for an eye. I'm saying it's worthy to ask what's happening on a pshat level. So the Rashbam would say the same thing here. Ultimately, halachically, the difference is between shomer chinam and shomer sachar. But he thinks on a pshat level, there's a different message here about kesef and kelim versus behemot. Yeah, Zach.
I think I just missed what the reason was for why.
He says it's all about assumptions. Like, what am I expected to be doing? So if you're watching my crock pot, all I expect you to do is put it in the kitchen with your pots. But that doesn't mean I'm standing there preventing a ghana from coming in. But if you give me your animal, right, animals stay outside. So the expectation is, well, if you put it outside, someone could easily steal it. So there the expectation is that I'm supposed to prevent a ghana from coming to get it. Okay, great. But maybe sometimes, guys, there's a way to navigate the difference. Okay, not everything has to be a pshat drash split. Sometimes the drash could be the pshat. So we're going to see something very interesting, I think, in the Bechor Shor. We'll skip this far for now, just to save time. Let us go to the Bechor Shor. Maybe there's a way to navigate the difference. So he says in the Bechor Shor, Ki yitein ha-shor yish kesef o-kelim, v'udin l'chol davar metalt v'guf o-mam, k'mav v'mikal pad o-klal, u'v'shomer chinam medaber. So if you just stop right here, it sounds a bit like Rashi. Oh, we'll just go with the drash. But now he does a very clever move. Okay, here we go. Really, I assume the noise is not being made by one of our workers, is it? Oh, yeah? Who's the... Okay, so you stop. It sounds like Rashi, right? It's just going to quote Chazal. Look what he does now. Our next move. V'lakach naka kesef o'kelim. That's why it picks kesef o'kelim. She'ein derech l'sh'ol sachar al shmiratam. What does he want to claim? That kesef o'kelim, what's the norm? They're the kind of things that when someone guards them, you don't get paid. Everyone got that? So now, it's a clever move. What could I say? I am focusing on the items involved. It's just that those items actually lead to the split of shomer chinam versus... That's a clever move, right? Then the pshat and the drash go together. What do you simply have to claim? The norm of kelim is that you're not paid, and the norm of behemah is that you are paid, and then that life is great. Okay, now let's just use it to see if the argument works. Is it a coherent argument? 1 second, Al. Okay, so why is it a coherent argument? So why would I get paid? Well, let's just think for a second, guys. You guys will get it right away, even if we don't read it. Why would I be more like get paid for watching your animal than watching your crock pot? It's a lot more difficult to watch an animal than to watch a crock pot. So he goes on to say, what's true about the kelim? She ain't ben torach l'shomran. Ain't ben torach? No, torach? There's no effort, right? There's no tircha. Okay, however, let's skip to the last two lines. V'l'keinachat behemot. She ain't derech l'shom kim b'schar. Why do you get paid for watching animals? She ain't torach b'shmira. There is. Real toil, good. Look, what do you have to do? L'hotziyan, l'havyan, l'hachilan, l'hashkotan. Right, I don't have to feed your crockpot. But I do have to feed, right, your animals, and I have to move them around, right? They have to be walked. It's their effort. Okay, so just to sum up here, I'll take comments in 1 second, guys. We now have a nice triple machlokas, okay, or three approaches. If we ask Rashi, Rashi just says, I'm a drash man, no more work needed. Namely, Parsha Rishona, Shomer Chinam, Parsha Shnia, Shomer Sachar. If we ask Rashbam, Rashbam says, I'm a pshat man, is actually a difference between on a pshat level between kesef and kelim versus chamor or shor. He has the bechor shor. He cleverly integrates the two. He says the drash here is the pshat. Kesef kelim is the kind of thing you don't get paid for, so that's shomer chinam. Behemod are the kind of things you do get paid for, so that is shomer sachar. That is a clever way to kind of collapse the difference. Yes, Al. Okay. Yeah, Benny Klein.
Why don't we just say Shomer Kim and Shomer Sar?
We use examples all the time in life. You like examples?
No, I don't have a problem with examples. Shouldn't the examples come close back after the
pattern
revision?
That's an interesting question. I'll think about it. Yeah.
Do you have recommendations? Meaning if I want to wash my car,
Sure.
If I want to let you wash it up.
Yes, absolutely. In fact, if you read Bamitzia, guys, if you hadn't punted it, you would discover there are cases there of watching animals where you're not paid. You could watch an animal and be a shomer chinam. Maybe you're an extremely nice guy, you don't even say, I'll watch your donkey, and I don't even get paid for it. I will be a shomer chinam on your donkey. Okay? Everyone good with that? Any other questions or comments? Is Yoni Zerman busy like Ming Chong? Is that where he is again?
No, I just went to
the what? Okay. Ah, here he is. The Yitzhar personified. Okay.
Chocolate.
Yeah, that's why. Okay. All right, so that... Okay, that finishes. It used to be Al, it's true. Oh my God, the HR has shifted personalities.
I'm back.
I don't find skills tempting. Okay. I know it's a personal thing, but I only find Reese's Peanut Cups tempting, not skills. Okay, in any case, you can sell skills for that price one else. Okay. Okay, so now you can give more. Okay, so now let us move to part two. Okay, so that was part one, how we get from the psukim to the different categories of Shemirah. Let's get to an extremely lumdish issue in the world of Shemirah. Okay, now we talked about different things that could happen to your animal. We talked about ones, we talked about gneva. There's another famous category called pshia. Okay, what's pshia? Negative. Now, obviously, pshia is the worst thing a shomer could do. What do you mean? How can you be negligent with it? Okay, and that's the one case that even a shomer chinam is chayv, right? We're not going to charge a shomer chinam if it's stolen, but if you're grossly negligent, who cares your shomer chinam? You agreed to guard it. What do you mean? You just left it in the street and walked away. So a shomer chinam is chayv in pshia. Okay, great. Now, there seem to be certain items that somehow get an exemption from Shemirah. And let's see how those items play out. So it's a Mishnah that appears both in Bav Metzia and Shavuot. The Mishnah says, Eilu dvarim she'en lahem ona. Ona is a different halacha altogether. Hang on to there. What are these things that are unique? Havadim, slaves, hashtarot, document says I owe you money, karkaot, land, the hekdesher and hektesh. What's true about all these things? Some of their exceptions to normal rules. Ein lem teshlumi giv l'shvei v'chamisha, and here's the one that's relevant to us. Shomer chinam eino nishva. If you're a shomer chinam on those items, you don't have to take an oath. V'nosei schar eino mishalei. And if you're shomer sachar, you didn't have to pay. Now, one way to read that is to say, guess what? All chiyuvei shmira dissipate if it's one of these four items. Okay? That somehow, for whatever reason, guarding real estate is different than guarding metalflin. If I'm guarding karka, I don't have all the oaths and payments with dissipate. Okay, we're good with that so far? Okay, but here's what I like very much, guys, sometimes when lumdus and close reading overlap. I get more into close reading every year. Notice, did it say no chiyuvei shmira apply? Is that what it said? No, what does it say? Shomer chinam enishba. So is that just an example? Right, you would miss it. Can you say no? It just says shomer chinam enishba. That doesn't mean that something else can't happen. How much should we take that as just an example of a total ptur? Or should we say no? It's very, very precise. Rabbi Friedman, what do you got?
Also, if you take both cases together, it doesn't seem to be that something like this can be able to
because... Oh, that was very clever. See, that's why one is nishba, one is mishali. That was very clever, Sage. Okay, great. So now we can get to a famous Rambam. Okay, guys, go discuss this with your local lagman. And if you go to bring lunch and Shmuzer up the real about it, you'll make his day. You'll be very excited. Okay, here we go, guys. Says the Rambam, famous Rambam. Yirali, she'im pasha ha-shomer, ba'avadim u'kiyotzibem. What test case does the Rambam want to say? That category we just had of things you're putter from, what happens if the shomer is hoshea, is grossly negligent. I'm watching your field, and I just walk away and let animals and people just run through and do what they want to it. Okay, here we go. She'enu patur b'avadim chayv l'shalim. She'enu patur b'gard l'shalim y'gneva v'enu meita. Ah, big chiddush, right? You're patur, but only in the other kinds of categories. If it was pshia, you'd actually be chayiv. Now, I think we can all appreciate that morally and logically, but the Rambam has a very interesting halachic terminology. Let's skip to the second side here, guys. What does he say? Again, the second line. Avalim pashaba chayiv l'shalem shekola posheya mazeku. That is the famous line, guys. What did the Rambam just say? Pshia is not like the other categories. Other categories, I could be chayiv, I could be patur. But you wouldn't say that I'm this criminal. I'm this guy damaging your property. Okay, how does he view posheya? It's like I broke your window, right? I am a mazik, and therefore I have to pay. So it sounds like the Rambam thinks the chiyuv of pshia is of a qualitatively different sort than the other chiyuv. Every guy what I just said? It doesn't mean I can't be chayiv in other categories. As Sage said, a shomer sachar is chayiv in gneva, and a shoel is even chayiv in onus. But we're saying, no, but that's one thing. It's one thing to be chayiv in gneva onus, and a totally other thing to be chayiv in pshia. When you're chayiv in pshia, you're a mazik. And therefore, the normal exemptions don't apply. So this is a big chiddush of Rambam in things like karka and avadim, where there's a shmira exemption. Not true for pshia, because posheya kamazik. Dan Janus.
What?
Let's leave aside the practical idea of it for now. You know, it's a good question. I don't get to it right now. Okay, well, good so far? Okay, great. Now, of course, the Rambam's got a famous critic, Rabbi Avraham ben David, the Ravid. So the Ravid comes along and asks a question. Okay, so let's look at the Ravid here. Now, remember, guys, this is crucial. Every single Ravid piece begins with Aleph, Aleph. It is not E.F. Shar. It is Amar Avraham. It means I am no longer quoting Rambam. Now I'm starting to talk. Okay, so Amar Avraham, in Emet Huzesh, now he has two really good questions, guys. Let's see his two really good questions. This is an excellent Ravid and a very good debate. What's his first question? Shomer Chinam Lama Enu Nishba Al Tanato Shalo Pasha Shem Pasha Mishalem. He's a very good question. What did the Mishnah say? When it comes to Shtar or Karka, we will make a Shomer Chinam swear. Says the Ravid, we should make him swear. Why should we make him swear? Why should we make him swear? Well, think about it. Why do we normally want the shomer to swear? The shomer has an unfair advantage over the owner. What's his unfair advantage? He's there. So the owner can only speculate about what happened to the item, and the shomer knows what happened. So that's why we normally... Very good. So what do we want... So to assure the owner that he's being honest, we have the shomer take an oath. Let's just pick a test case for a second, guys. Let's try the following. Okay, if you get this, guys, you should really understand what Shomer. Okay, let's say Zev Ross is a Shomer Sachar. Okay? And something happens to the item. He says it's gone. I'm the owner. Okay, so what might I claim happened? If he's a Shomer Sachar and I want to get my money back? I might claim Pshia. He was busy making memes. But I didn't need to say Pshia. I could even claim it was Kneva, right? And maybe he wasn't a Pshia, but he couldn't overcome the thief, and I should get my money back. Okay, what does Zev claim? It was onus. Okay, there you go. So, but I'm not there, he's there. So what does Halacha have Zev do? If he takes the shvu, it was onus, that's good enough, he wins. Because he's the one who's there. Okay, great. So now let's go back to the Ravid. The Ravid has a very interesting claim. The Ravid says, anytime there's a possibility that you should be chayiv, what should emerge from there? Is that interesting? Questions? I like the very interesting question. Do tashlumen and shvu go together by definition? Says the Ravid, of course they do. So once you tell me the Shomer Chinam could be Chayev, or this Shomer could be Chayev for Pshia, what should follow by definition? He should have to take an oath. What will his oath entail? It wasn't the case of Pshia. Have you seen that, guys? Got question one? So he says, I understand. If you tell me you're putter across the board, then Eino Nishba makes sense. Eino Nishba, because you can't be Chayev. There's nothing to swear about. But once you tell me there's like something could have happened that would make you Chayev, namely Pshia, why do we make him take an oath? How could the Mishnah say, Shomer Chinam Eino Nishba? Okay, that's question one. Now the answer might be, maybe we don't always say the two have to go together. Okay, but the Ravid saying it naturally follows. Anybody who could be Chayev has to take a Shvua. Okay, next. What's his second critique? The Ein Poshea Mazik, Shemaya Kain, Pshia Bibalim Lama Patur. El Shein Poshea Mazik. Now things got even more interesting. Okay, what if we contrasted the case of Karka with another case where Shomer had exemptions? And that, we don't have to go to any fancy Gemaras, we just go to the Pesukim. In the Pesukim, what's another case where Shomer gets an exemption? Balavimo. So what would be a very interesting test case? What happens if you're Poshea in a scenario of Bala Vimo? Right, now apparently we know the answer. What's the answer? Okay, but what's the pshak? Your potter. So now he's got a problem. What's his problem? If the Rambam says poshe is a different order altogether, and even when you're exempt from other chiyuvim, you're chayav, why is that not true in the case of Balavimo? Right? I will have to say the two exemptions are not the same. Again, the exemption of shtar and karka does not exempt you from pshia, but the exemption of Balavimo does. Everyone have the right of two critiques? Those are two very critiques. I'll make sure I have time before we move on, guys. Again, according to the Rambam, you're chayv in a case of pshia because, what's his formulation again? Poshea kimazik. Okay, what's the Ravid's double critique, guys? Critique one, if you could be chayv, why don't you have to take an oath? The shvur should follow by definition. Critique two, if poshea kimazik, that should apply even to balavimo. Why does it apply to shtar and karka, not balavimo? Okay, is everybody clear before we move on? Okay, great. Now, we're going to do a split, guys. Okay, in the next, we have about 19 minutes left. There's a literary part and a lumdish part. Okay, what do you guys want to do first? The literary part or the lumdish part? Oh, you get, oh my God, she was turned into just a lumdish 101 here. Okay, we're now brisk. We're not alright anymore. Okay, so let's go to the lumdish part. Okay, everyone go to source 10. Okay, so as you guys know, Reb Chaim Soloveitchik is famous for pioneering the brisker derech. And it's never just a one-man job. So he had many talmidim that were quite talented, and they became like the next generation of Rosh Yeshiva. Okay, so, I'm sorry, Max, can I just fill this with cold water? Just fill this out. Thank you very much. Okay, so just to give you some of the names, one of Reb Chaim Soloveitchik's talmidim was Rav Elchanan Wasserman. You may have heard of him. Okay, another of his most famous talmidim was Rav Baruch Ber Leibowitz. And Rav Baruch Ber wrote a sefer called Birkat Shmuel. I think some of you in Rav Gavshir have done it. Okay, I will say one thing, guys. The Birkat Shmuel is usually pretty hard to read. Okay, so if you want to like lump this on your own, I'm not sure I'd recommend it. But we're going to pick out a five lines here. It's actually quite clear. Okay, but this again is Rav Baruch Ber Leibowitz, a Talmud of Rav Chaim Soloveitchik. Okay, and he quotes his Rebbe all the time. So let's look at 10. Uvizet tirates Moreinu v'Rabbeinu. Okay, obviously, who's Moreinu v'Rabbeinu? Rav Chaim. Okay, thanks very much. Okay, Divrei Haramba. Dine. Let's take it, guys, before we get to the answer, we have to set up one point. V'adai ma'adagabi shomer chayi p'shia midin mazik. Let's look at that Rambam's idea that poshea maziku. Shayach dinzeh shiachsho mazik rak gabi shomer v'lo gabi meisheino shomer. Okay, makes a very crucial point. What makes poshea kamazik? Only, what's the starting point first?
Shomer.
Meaning, if I'm not a shomer, the ball doesn't get rolling. Right? It's I would say it's a contextual mazik. Right? Let's say right now, Akiva Garner has, I know, some a packed herring over there on the table. And I am totally poshea. I don't pay any attention to it, and Sam Fader shows up and eats it all. Okay, so now, am I chayev? Of course not. Why not? Because I'm only poshea, assuming I was a shomer. If I'm not a shomer, I'm not poshea. Right? So it's not like I'm some objective poshea. I am a poshea in context. In the context of being a shomer, I am a poshea. Okay, let's keep reading a little bit more. The misha eino shomer, if I'm not a shomer, lo yechashev gabesh yamazik lepshia. Kima de masse biyadayim. If I wasn't a shomer, what's the only way I could be a mazik? Yeah, if I take his herring and throw it over the roof, so that's hezek. But that's not contextual mazik. That is objective hezek. But the standard pshia and shomer is only contextual. Okay, let's keep reading now. Now, once you have that as a background, he's going to say something extremely clever and very lumdish. Okay, here we go. Valkein, I'm at the end of the fourth line. Valkein shapir mivor. Didavka gabi karkod vavad vishtaro. What's happening again? What are we looking for, guys? We're looking for a conceptual difference between shtar and karka and balavimo. What is the conceptual difference? Okay, here we go. Gabi, I lost the place for a second. Dinase shomer gomer. What's true in all those cases, if we have a deal? I am a shomer. My shomer identity is in place. I can wear the shomer t-shirt. Damash yehushmetu rak mitin tashlumin. But what's the halacha say? Even though you're a shomer, you don't have to pay. There's something different about watching karka or watching a star that you don't have to pay. Okay, I'm going to shmira shapinu, but I am a shomer. Valkein shapir im pasha bekarkod chashamazik. So if that's true, what happens if I'm poshea? I'm mazik again, because what do I need to say? What's the background I need to say Poshe Amaziku? That I have the identity of a Shomer. Okay, let's keep reading. Okay, Danas is Shomer, Vinimarak Dinta Shulin. Masha Enkin Gabi Bal Imo, the Dinap Turhu Bashmira Atzma, Bezavi Keish Acher. What does he want to claim? What's the nature of the Din of Bal Imo? Not just that I get a Ptur Tashlumen. What does Bal Imo do? It undermines my very Shomer status. It's almost that once the Balaam are there, you're not a Shomer. So if I'm not a Shomer, what follows? I can't say. Very good conceptual distinction. Very fine, but it is logical. Okay, says Reb Baruch Ber again, once again, or really Reb Chaim. That's the difference according to the Rambam. In Shtar and Karka, I maintain my identity as a Shomer. I'm a Shomer who we give exemptions to. But if I'm a Shomer who we give exemptions to, I can still say Poshe Kamazik. But what's the nature of Bal Avimo? That is so fundamental, Bal Avimo, that I'm not a Shomer altogether. If I'm not a Shomer altogether, Poshe is still Patur. Everyone understand? Conceptual difference? Now, I will say, I do have some, even though I like it very much, it's very sharp reasoning, I do have some qualms about it. Because I'm not sure how radically to take it. Because the really radical way to say it would be, in Bal Avimo, I'm allowed to just go home and watch TV. Which I, do you want to ask that, Joey? That I think is his real question. Is that really true? Like, wouldn't you say, since I agreed to watch it, I still have to watch it? Even if, and if I still have to watch it, shouldn't it follow that I still have the identity of a Shomer? So again, it's a very sharp conceptual distinction, but it does need a bit more work. Like, how far would Reb Chaim take it? Would Reb Chaim take it so far that, oh, once Bal Avimo, you could just go home? Or would he somehow have some svara that even though I have to watch it, somehow that does not maintain my Shomer identity? Yeah, Joey.
My question is going to be, how could you redeem it if the owner is there? I guess you're saying that since you're still...
So the truth is, I'm cheating a little bit because I wanted to simplify. Even though the simplest way to understand Bal Avimo is that the owner is actually physically present, it's not obvious he actually has to be physically present for it to be Bal Avimo. It's actually not true halachically. Meaning as long as he's hired and is in and out, that's enough for Bal Avimo. Okay, so it's a good question, but that's the answer. I was trying to avoid that because that'll get things confusing. Yeah, Benny. It's a good question, but I'm ignoring that also. Okay. Well, usually he would know naturally, right? Because it's a business deal between them, no? Okay, Bal Avimo doesn't mean only that he's physically present. It means that he's working for the Shomer. There's a business deal between them. Okay? Everybody good so far? Okay, great. So that was the Lomdish part. Okay, now we're going to move on to the literary part. Now, what might support the Rambam on a literary level, not on a Lomdish level? So let's go to the Magen Mishnah. Okay, now here's just a good rule for life, guys. When you are thinking about the name of your Sefer, so if you're writing a commentary on something, you might have something that plays off the thing you're commenting on. So we're going to give you a few examples, guys. Let us say you would like to write a commentary on the Sefer HaChinuch. What might you say? We're in our tradition, we have a phrase with the word Chinuch in. And you might call your parish the Minchat Chinuch. Everyone know what a Minchat Chinuch is? Okay, so when a Kohen starts his Kuna, he brings a flower offering to kick off his priesthood. And that what it's called, the Minchat Chinuch, right? Chinuch L'chaneich, like your Chanichim. Okay, so, but it's great. I write a comment on the Sefer Chinuch, I'll call it the Minchat Chinuch, right? There you go. Okay, you write a pirish on the Makot, and you call it the Barad Ben Hashemayim. Okay, there you go. And, what? Say it?
The
Tzitzish. There you go. Okay. And that is because... we have the author right here. Okay, he's ready for St. Patrick's Day. He's good to go. Okay. So now, let's say I'm writing a commentary on the Mishnah Torah. So what am I looking for? Well, I can play off the word Torah. I can play off the word Mishnah. So not surprisingly, you have commentaries. What did Rav Yosef Karo call his commentary? The Kesef Mishnah. And you have the Mishnah Lamelech and the Magen Mishnah. Right? And the Lechem Mishnah for that part, right? So you take a phrase that's part of our tradition, and you're playing off the word Mishnah. Okay, excellent. So let us go to the Magen Mishnah. Okay, says the Magen Mishnah. But that's just make you suspect. If you see something called Mishnah and you don't know anything about it, you might say, oh, it's obviously a commentary on the Rambam. Okay. Yirli Shimpasha Shomer Ba'ad Kyotze Zeh Machloket Yishana Ba'am Farshim. This is an old debate. V'yeh Shedikdikul Mashamu Mishnah Ba'el Shomer Chinam Eino Nishba V'lo Amra Eino Mishalim. So says the Magen Mishnah, wait, I've got a great deal to prove the Rambam right. Say, just like we said before. The Mishnah didn't say Shomer Chinam Potter. What was the exact language of the Mishnah? Shomer Chinam. So what could you be medayik from there? That there is a scenario when he's Mishalim. Does that support Rambam or Ravid? Rambam. Because what would the Rambam say? The scenario that he's Mishalim is? Shia, have you got that? So now forget all your lumbus. Just try to read the Mishnah carefully. The Mishnah said Shomer Chinam Enu Nishba. Says the Magen Mishnah, that's a proof for Rambam. It purposely did not say Shomer Chinam Enu Mishalim, because it's a case where he is Mishalim. You haven't got that? And that's a good deal, assuming you have no other explanation for the terminology. What if you have a different explanation for why it phrases it that way? So let's look, we're going to see, guys, we'll close with this. Two other explanations for why I might choose to say Shomer Chinam Enu Mishba. I'm going to do that. Okay? You didn't smile so much when you checked out here. I think you only smiled like again. Okay, although Shmuel Berman is still in charge. Okay, did you go to Lady Mar this week?
Yeah.
Okay, great. You're still winning right now. Okay, that's it, guys. You get extra points for staring to the abyss of postmodernism and still smiling. Okay, so that's Shmuel Berman. Okay, so here we go. So let's see if there's another way to overcome the diuk from Shomer Chinam Enu Mishpat. Okay, so let us go to the end of the Magen Mishnah, and then we'll see a Tosfos. So the Magen Mishnah says in the last three lines. Haramban v'Rashbaz al chalukin b'zeh. V'omrim she'ein zutana. Ein zutana? That's not a claim. That's not a good argument. Why not? Sha'am mishna lo iskira ela mashen iskar b'katuv. U'v'shomechinam lo namrut ha'shom b'katuv klal. So what did he claim? The Mishnah, why did it pick that case? The Mishnah just reading the Pesukim very carefully. What do the Pesukim talk about the Shomechinam doing? They talk about the Shomechinam making an oath. Since the Pesukim talk about the Shomer Chinam making an oath, therefore, that's what the Mishnah chooses to focus on. But it never meant to be exclusive. The Mishnah simply reflects the focus of the Torah. If Kumash is going to focus on the Shomer Chinam as a Nishba, so the Mishnah will focus on the Shomer Chinam Nishba. But when we read the Pesukim, we said there is a case, even if it didn't say it explicitly, there is a case where Shomer Chinam pays, that's Pshia. Since the Pesukim didn't emphasize that, so neither does the Mishnah. Okay, so sometimes you might have a special reason why the Mishnah was more narrowly focused. Maybe sometimes the Mishnah just reflects the Pesukim. Okay, one more Pshia here, guys. Let us go to Tosos. This is quite interesting because it says, not such a yeshiva svara, but there it is in Tosos. So it became yeshivish after this. Okay, look at source 9. Look at the third line of source 9, guys. V'ha deloktani eino mishalem. What's bothering Tosfos once again, guys? Why does the Mishnah say Shomer Chinam eino nishba? It should say Shomer Chinam, which was a diuk for Rambam. And we saw how the Ramban addressed it. How does Tosfos address it? The Avi Rebbeinu Tzvei mishum deikra. This Mishnah's main source b'shvuot perek hadayanim. Very interesting, guys. The same line, Shomer Chinam Enu Nishba, appears in Bava Metzia and in Shavuos. Now, here he's making a very practical point here. Let's think for a second, guys. Let's say I have a mission in Shavuos that says Shomer Chinam Enu Nishba. Would you get all uptight and say, why is it saying Nishba? Or would you say something else? Why did it say Enu Nishba? That's the topic at hand. Oh, wait, I have to do one of my favorite tangents now. Luckily, I have 7 minutes, I can do it. Okay, guys. Masechet, let's look at Seder Moed for a second, guys. This is a good tangent for you. Even if you've been asleep tonight, wake up for this. Yeah, everyone should know this. Let's think about all the Chagim. Okay, what is the Masechet about Rosh Hashanah called? Okay, what's the Masechet about Yom Kippur called? Excellent. Pesach. Okay, Sukkah. Okay, what about Purim? Okay, what about Shavuos? There is none. Okay, and Hanukkah? There is none. Okay, so I think you should ask yourself, wait, that's interesting. How come there's no Masechet Chanukah? And how come there's no Masechet Shavuot? So we'll leave Chanukah aside for now. Who can tell me a great reason why there's no Masechet Shavuot?
It's all in the curse.
Yes, Ozzy. That's exactly right. Okay, very good. Because there are no mitzvot. What would it be about? Like, what's the first paragraph about? Like, Hilchot cheesecake? Are you Yotze if there's blueberry also? Is it extra hitter to have chocolate? Right? There are no halachot. Right? So think about the other Chagim. Like, on Pesach, there's 5,000 things to discuss. Discuss the parameters of matzah, of maror, of carbon Pesach. On Sukkot, there's 5,000 things to discuss. What's a kosher sukkah? What's a kosher lulav? What's a kosher etrog? So it makes sense that there's going to be a Masechet Pesach, and there's going to be a Masechet Sukkah. But there's nothing to discuss on Shavuot. So we don't need a Masechet. Okay? So there's no Masechet Shavuot. Yes? Ah, that's exactly the point. So why is your Masechta Shavuos? Because it's not about the Chag. It's about oaths. In fact, I have a killer proof. Which Seder is Masechta Shavuot in? Yeah, it's not in Moed, it's in Ezekiel. Because it has nothing to do with the holiday. Okay, you good, Jeremy Snow? Did you realize that before? Okay, but now you know why. It's about oaths. So, of course, it's in Ezekiel, because oaths would normally be like in a court case. Right? So that's where Masechta Shavuot is. Is that Kima? Okay, there you go. Okay, well, I guess you know you're in trouble when Akiva Gard is making fun of you for being too new Hasidic. Wow, what a world. Okay. Okay.
I missed that.
Oh, it's okay. It wasn't important. Okay, so now, let's go back for a second. So let's say the Mishnah originally appeared in Shavuot, and now it says Shom Echinam Eno Nishva. So what does the Tosafot say very simply? It says Eno Nishva because that's the topic. Right, it never meant to be exclusive. That's what we're discussing in the second about oaths. So the second about oaths, we're going to talk about Shavuos. But you certainly should not make a deal. Oh, you said Eino Nishva, that implies Mishali. But now he's doing some questions. Here's the nine Yeshiva Svara. What's the claim? The mission of Bamitzi is simply citing the phrase from Shavuot. It's like, oh, it was phrased for Shavuot, and we just plug that phrase in here in Bamitzi. Okay, let's do a brief summary this year, guys. And then we'll move on, okay? Both parts. Part one of the shir. Okay? We have two parshot in Mishpatim. Three parshot, really. Third parsha is clearly Shoel. First parsha is Pater from Shomer, from Geneva. Second guy is Chaim Geneva. How does Chazal take it? First one is Shomer Chinam. Second one, okay, after Ashpa, I'm going to take it. First one is Kesef Okelim. You wash them out. Second one is Behemoth that you watch in the field. Great. How did the Bechor Shor navigate the two? How did he combine the two very successfully? What did the Bechor Shor say? Yes, Max.
Usually a Shor Chinam.
That Kalim you normally are not paid for, so that's Shomer Chinam. Behemoth you normally are paid for, so it's Shomer Sachar. So it's a clever way of getting the Pshat and the Drash to integrate. Okay, that was part one of this year. Okay, part two. We have certain things you're exempt from, like watching a Shtar or Karka gives you an exemption. What was the Rambam's big Kiddush? The exemption does not apply to Hoshea. What's his phrase? Because Hoshea Kemazik. Great. The Ravid disagrees. Now let's ignore his first disagreement, which is quite important, but we're ignoring it. What was the Ravid's second kasha? If you really say Hoshea Kemazik, why is it not sure with the case of? Okay, guys, what was Reb Chaim's Lumdish distinction? What's the difference between the two exemptions? When you're exempt in Shtar and Karka, you're still a Shomer. If you're still a Shomer, what follows? If you're Poshea, Poshea Kamazik. What's true at Balavimo? Your whole Shomer identity is undermined. You can't even be Chayef or Poshea. Excellent svar. We still deal with like the Joey Gedalia problem. Like, how seriously are you taking it? Like, can you go home? Does that really mean you're going to be a Shomer at all? How far would a Chayim push it? Okay, great. Next. What about the literary point? What did the mission in both Bamitzia and Shavuot say? Shomer Chinam? And Mishpa. If you want to make the deal, who does that help? Rambam. And Mishpa means, but yes, Mishalim, because you're Mishalim in the case of Pshia. But now we have seen two ways in theory to neutralize that, right? How does the Magen Mishnah according to Ramban neutralize it? Why did it focus on Pshia according to Shvu according to the Ramban? Remember at the end of the Magen Mishnah? Because that's what the Psukim focus on. Where the Mishnah is just going to emulate the focus of the Psukim. Okay, I find it more intriguing the Tosa's answer. What was Tosa's answer to the problem? Well, think about it. This Mishnah appears in Shavuot. Obviously, the topic of Shavuot is Shavuot. So you're not going to make a big deal. Why did it say Shom Echinam in Nishba in Masechet Shavuot? That is the theme of relevance. Everybody good with that? Okay, guys. Everybody have a wonderful Shabbat.
Thank you.